United States.
Internal migration. Movers and shakers. The COVID reshuffle of the past 2 years will change America for longer.
After the Second World War, Americans took their new cars on their new highways and decamped for the suburbs, changing American life forever. Today, the internet and remote work presage a similar transformation. A two-hour commute a couple of days a week may be worthwhile if it allows a bigger house and smaller mortgage payment. So might a move across the country if one rarely has to travel to company headquarters. Adam Ozimek of Upwork, a freelancing platform, has estimated that some 14 to 23 million Americans may up sticks because of the rise of remote working, which amounts to between 9% and 13% of today's workforce. People are asking deep questions about how and where they want to live, says Richard Florida of the University of Toronto, who observes a great unmooring in Americans' thinking about where they live. Chris Proctor, who works for John Burns Real Estate Consulting, which advises home builders, says this is unlike anything we've seen in decades. The closest comparison is the suburbanization we saw in the 1950s. Migration is following two trends, both of which existed before the pandemic. First, people have been leaving large, dense, expensive urban cores for smaller, less dense cities and suburbs. Second, people and companies have been moving to warm, low-tax states in the south and southwest. Take the flight from cities first. Stefan Whitaker at the Federal Reserve Bank of Cleveland uses credit data to show how hard urban neighborhoods were hit during the pandemic. More people left and fewer people chose to move into large cities such as New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago. Late 2020 saw a peak of net out-migration from urban neighborhoods of around 75,000. In the second quarter of 2021, it averaged 54,000 per month, more than double pre-pandemic levels. Mr. Whitaker estimates that from March 2020 to March 2021, around 600,000 people moved from large, high-cost metro areas to mid-sized cities, meaning those with between 500,000 and 2 million people, and more than 740,000 moved to rural areas, small towns, and cities with populations below 500,000, an increase in both instances of 13.5% from pre-pandemic levels. New York and San Francisco saw the largest jump in the share of people leaving. In recent months, young renters have started returning to some cities, while middle-aged people are continuing to flock to the suburbs to buy homes. Cost and COVID-19 are not the only considerations. Many cities have seen an uptick in crime, homelessness, and business closures, just as they are experimenting with criminal justice reform and proposing tax increases. Edward Glaser, a professor at Harvard and co-author of Survival of the City, says he worries about the understandable urge for progressive action in cities running into the buzzsaw of heightened geographic mobility. But he warns that if cities target the rich and businesses with taxes and fail to offer basic services like public safety, then something that was a modest economic disruption could turn into something much more severe. Towns and suburbs near large cities have been the biggest magnets. According to The Economist's crunching of data from the United States Postal Service, the three zip codes with the most changes of address for new arrivals were in suburbs and exurbs outside Houston and Austin in Texas and Jacksonville, Florida. The places attracting people share common features: relative affordability, a strong sense of community, amenities, natural or constructed, and friendliness towards business, says Cullum Clark, director of the Bush Institute Southern Methodist University Economic Growth Initiative. Nearness to nature is attractive, but so is the ability to bring up a family and nurture a nest egg. According to Joel Kotkin of Chapman University, people go to places where they can achieve the American dream. It's increasingly difficult to do that in cities that created the American dream, like New York, because of the cost of living there. Housing costs are one indicator of where people are going. Kalispell, Montana, has seen the largest increase in property values in the country, with the average home up nearly 50% year on year. Second is Austin, Texas, followed by Boise, Idaho. Traditional holiday spots, including Bend, Oregon, and California's Lake Tahoe, have seen a surge of interest. But not every under-the-radar town has prospered. It's very hard to find examples of places that were losing people or jobs but have drawn them in during the pandemic, says Jed Colco, chief economist at Indeed, a job listings firm. Some had expected left-behind cities and rural areas to benefit from remote work and migration. But the migration data so far suggests that the relatively affordable places people move to are the affordable places they were already going. The pull of suburbs has been observed for more than half a century, but COVID-19 has given it new force. Urbanizing suburbs, as Mr. Clark calls them, are gaining amenities, but keeping their characteristic sprawl. Contrary to the stereotype of identical white homes with white occupants, today's suburbs are diverse. Wendell Cox of Demographia, a consultancy, estimates that 86% of the population of big metro areas live in suburbs or exurbs. That includes 90% of whites, 83% of Hispanics, 81% of Asians, and 76% of African Americans. 4 in 5 of the zip codes that saw the largest percentage increases in population since the start of the pandemic were in just 3 states, Texas, Florida, and Arizona. This underscores the second trend, which is a shift of people to low-tax states in the South and West. Sunshine and low taxes are the most obvious reasons. Both Florida and Texas levy no state income tax, while California's top rate is 13.3% and New Jersey's is 10.75%. 2 owners of buildings and housing developments in the Dallas area estimate that 20% of occupants are recent Californian transplants. But part of the impulse may be a reaction to COVID-19 restrictions. Unlike Texas and Florida, which reopened quickly, California insisted on factories and businesses staying shut to the frustration of bosses. According to Mr. Florida, the reason people have left cities and moved to rural hinterlands or cities in the South is not just taxes. It's the fact that they can live their daily life and send kids to school with minimal restrictions. Out-of-state buyers, flush with cash from selling their expensive homes, have pushed up prices in once affordable markets. Prices rose so much in Frisco, Texas, that Scott Worstler, executive director of operations for the Frisco Independent School District, decided to sell his house. He sold it in 3 days above the asking price to a Californian buyer. He put in offers on 4 rentals, but was gazumped by people willing to pay a full year of rent in advance, and eventually found somewhere in Prosper, the next town over. The same outward shift is underway in Denver, where house prices have also spiked, pushing people 60 miles south to smaller, less congested Colorado Springs. As with everything else, the rich have more choices. The 70-odd mile stretch running from Miami to Palm Beach has become a popular destination for people fleeing Wall Street and Silicon Valley. In Palm Beach, at least 10 homes have sold for $85 million or more this year. One financier who moved from Connecticut to Florida reckons that home prices on Palm Beach Island have tripled since the start of COVID-19. He predicts that the next wave of millionaire migration will not be from the Northeast and West Coast to the South, but from all 50 states to Puerto Rico, which is the only place one can live in America and pay no tax on capital gains. Even if not to Puerto Rico, though, the flow of people and firms out of California will probably continue as state politicians consider ratcheting up taxes on high earners and imposing new regulations. Since January, 114 companies have moved their headquarters from California, double the number in 2018, according to Joseph Vranich of Spectrum Location Services, a relocation consultant. Businesses of all shapes and sizes are assessing their options. The poster child for Silicon Valley disruption, Tesla, recently moved from California to Texas. Mr. Vranich says he was even contacted by a winery in Northern California that wants to shift its headquarters. It will leave the vines there, but take its rootless departments, such as distribution and finance, elsewhere. If the dispersal means more places will thrive, that is a good thing. If I had to choose between an America where there were 2 or 3 wealthy cities or 200 or 300, I'd choose 200 or 300, says Glenn Kelman, the boss of Redfin, a property brokerage. In 2005-17, a whopping 90% of employment growth in the innovation sector was concentrated in just 5 coastal metro areas: Boston, San Diego, San Francisco, San Jose, and Seattle. Innovation in the coming decades will probably be more widely distributed. As with any disruption, there will be losers from the COVID reshuffle. The long-term prospects of America's biggest cities depend on how well they are managed. With fewer people commuting into centres because of remote work, shops may not return, putting a greater burden on remaining city dwellers to fund costly services, such as public transport. Meanwhile, people in some suburbs and small towns may find themselves priced out. If the country's population were expanding rapidly, where Americans choose to live might matter less. But in the past decade, the population has grown at the second slowest rate since 1790, just slightly faster than during the Great Depression, according to Bill Frey of the Brookings Institution. Immigration has slowed markedly because of the pandemic and also because of tighter border controls. This means that states are competing for a limited resource, the people that comprise their tax base. And many states are losing the fight. Over the past decade, Illinois, Mississippi, and West Virginia have seen their populations decline. The implications for funding pensions and public education could make living in shrinking states even less attractive for younger people who will finance those debts. Growing states, such as Texas and Florida, will have an economic advantage. This will also influence the country's politics. Texas, Florida, Colorado, Montana, Oregon, and North Carolina have all gained population and therefore congressional seats, while seven states, including New York and California, have lost seats. According to the 2020 census, the South now has 10 of the country's 15 fastest-growing cities with a population of 50,000 or more. About 62% of Americans now live in the West and the South, compared with 48% in 1970. The share residing in the Midwest and Northeast has fallen from 52% to 38% over the past 50 years. This will affect congressional seats, federal funding, and electoral college votes, all of which are apportioned to states by population size. The movement of people will not only give certain places more national political clout, it will also reconfigure local politics. In the 2020 election, Democrats gained ground in Arizona and Georgia, in large part because of the young, college-educated, non-white people moving there. The shifting politics of Arizona and Georgia received attention, but less noted is that growing suburban places moved quite dramatically toward the Democratic Party, says Jonathan Rodden, a political science professor at Stanford. Traditionally, Democrats have been at a disadvantage because so many of their voters are clustered in cities. Their spread outward into suburbs could determine the result of more races. The big question that everyone would like to answer is whether this is a short-term reaction to some of the excesses of the Republican Party by relatively young, educated voters, or if it is a longer-term realignment of the suburbs, Mr. Rodden says. A countervailing political force is that some of the people who are moving into Texan, Floridian, and Arizonan suburbs from California and the Northeast consider themselves political refugees, fleeing badly run state and local governments. They may vote against Democratic candidates to prevent their new areas from turning into the places they left. America is never stagnant. Towns, cities, and suburbs will be transformed by their new inhabitants. The richness, diversity, and creativity of cities will come to smaller places, and the country's urban-rural divide should narrow. The dispersing of millennials, minorities, and immigrants means the country will have more in common than it did before, predicts Mr. Kotkin of Chapman University. That would be something to celebrate.